Horn went beep, engine purred, friendliest sound you ever heard. Little blue truck came down the road, beep said blue to the big green toad. Toad said croak and winked an eye, and little blue truck went rolling by. Sheep said baa, and cow said moo, oinks said to piggy, and beep said blue. Cluck said the chicken, and chick said peep, and ma said the goat, and blue said beep. Neigh said a horse, and quack said a duck, and beep said the friendly little blue truck. Honk yelled the dump truck, coming through. I've got big important things to do. I haven't got time to pass the day with every duck along the way. Room went the duck, the dump, around the curve. He saw the puddle and he tried to swerve. Into the mud rolled the big fat truck, and his big important wheels got stuck. His heavy-duty dump truck tires were sunk down deep in the muck and the mire. Honk cried dump, and he sounded scared, but nobody heard, nobody cared. Then into the mud, bump, 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 came the little blue truck to help the dump. Little blue pushed with all his might. Now blue and the dump were both stuck tight. Help, help, said the little blue truck. Beep, 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 beep. I'm stuck, I'm stuck. Everybody heard that beep, beep, beep. The cow came a-running with the pig and the sheep. Up at a gallop ran the big brown horse. Goat jumped over the fence, of course. The hen came a-flapping with the chick and the duck, and everybody pushed the little blue truck. Head to head and rump to rump, they all pushed blue, who pushed the dump. They couldn't quite budge that heavy load. Then who hopped up? The big green toad. All together, one, two, three, one last push, and the trucks were free. Thanks, little brother, said the dump to blue. You helped me, and they helped you. Now I see that a lot depends on the helping hand from a few good friends. Beep said blue, who wants a ride. Everybody scrambled to jump inside. Oink, quack, baa, moo, cluck, peep, neigh, croak, ma. Beep, beep, beep. Go and do likewise. Let's pray. I'm kidding. This is my life these days. I read a lot of these books to Henry. And many times, over and over and over and over and over again, I read these books. And as I was reading them, I began to notice in this particular series, by the way, and if you didn't notice, this will start, it's only a two-week series, this will start our sermon series on the little blue truck. Okay? I promise you there's some scripture there too. Next week, we'll see how he deals in the big city. But as I was reading that book, I began to think about what my dad used to tell me, and I'll keep it a little child appropriate, but my dad always said, kiss. Keep it simple, silly. Okay, I won't use the other word because I know that some kids aren't allowed to say that word. But my dad always just said, don't overthink it. Just keep it simple. And so as I was reading this book and reading what I was teaching my child through the little blue truck, I began to think about, man, there's a lot of scripture that it has the same idea in it. You think about all the different characters in there. You think about the little blue truck who was just as nice as can be, always beeping and telling everybody hi and honking and just taking his time along the way. And then you have the dump truck. The dump truck who was so important, and he had things to do, and he didn't have time to pass and say hi or do anything else because he was just so busy doing his thing. But what ended up happening to that dump truck is he came around a curve and he got stuck. And he realized that he needed help. As I was reading that to Henry, I began to think about how we as Christians are to act in this world and how we are to live out our lives. And a passage that I've read to you all before came to my mind. And we're going to read the whole chapter, but it's Romans chapter 12. And I've read the beginning part of that to you many times. But I want us to think about today the transformation that happens in our lives and the change that should happen in our lives, and then how we are to treat people because of who dwells within us. Now, I realize that there's not a commentary on the little blue truck, and we don't really know if the little blue truck was a Christian or not, but he had a lot of Christian values in helping and being friendly and just showing brotherly love to all of those. And so this passage this morning speaks a lot to that, and I want us to really focus in on that this morning. Focusing in on the change that happens in us, the gifts that God has given us, and then how we are to live out our lives each and every day. Can we do that this morning? I want to keep it as simple as possible. So we're going to use the little blue truck and the dump truck as examples this morning. So that should be pretty fairly easy for us to remember. So let's go to the Bible, not the little blue truck, for some scripture. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. We'll start there. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I want to stop right there and focus on those two passages for a little bit of time. You know, There's a transformation that happens, and if you all have been here for any fair amount of time, you understand and you know that I believe in a life-changing power of Jesus Christ in our lives. That I believe that when we accept Jesus into our heart and life, that we also receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit begins to change and transform who we are. We might have been a dump truck. Just mean, busy, didn't really care about anybody else. But as the Lord began to speak to our hearts and begin to show us how we are to treat and act with others, and how we have a mission to go and to share with all those that we come in contact with, we might see ourselves transforming into that little blue truck. Our spirit changes. Suddenly it's about other people. It's not about ourselves anymore. God begins to change our heart. That's exactly what Paul writes to the Romans here. He says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We're talking about God's will here. And His will is good, and it is acceptable, and it's perfect. It means He doesn't need your help. His will is perfect, it's acceptable, and it's pleasing. Okay? And so for God's will for our life is to glorify His name, and whatever He calls us to do in this life, it's perfect. It means He doesn't need you to go, you know, God, it would be a lot better if you did it this way. We're getting a little too big for our britches. We're getting to be more like the dump truck and say, ah, I got it, Lord, I'll just ram through. Right. No, we're in a mud puddle. Nobody really wants to help us. We're to be transformed. We are to be different. As you read this book, you see that the little blue truck is different. He doesn't have all these hang-ups and all these things. He's not thinking about himself. He's taking his time and he's going through and he's saying hi to everybody. He is different than the dump. We're to be transformed. We're to be changed. We're not to be like the world. The world that we live in today says, fill your margins with stuff. Make sure that you've got something going all the time. And if you don't, if you've got things going all the time, we'll sell you this to help you manage all your things and remind you. We give them these watches that buzz on our wrist to tell us to stand up. Isn't that crazy? My watch tells me to breathe. Okay, so how busy are we getting here? Okay, that we have to have a watch to tell us to breathe. I'm just picking at it, but you understand what I'm saying? This world will suck us in. And it'll try to drag us into the way that the world runs. And we are not called to run in the world. Amen. We're called to be in the world, but not to be of the world. We're to be transformed. Why? Because we have Christ inside. Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who paid the price so that we on this earth would be first and foremost happy and praising his name that he has given us that gift of eternal life. But also that we would take what it was put into our lives through Christ and be transformed and tell others about him. Sharing that wherever we go and with whoever we come in contact with. Paul says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It means our thought process begins to change. Again, it's no longer about us, but it's about living for Christ. Verse 3 goes on. Verse 3 through verse 8 says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to love, as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We see that that Paul says, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not to be conformed to this world, but being transformed. And when you're transformed, you realize that through grace you have been saved, and that you not to think too highly of yourself, but to realize that you are so lucky that God saved you from sin, that God chose to transform you instead of destroy you. That God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And here's the cool thing. Not only did he give us the gift of eternal life, but he gives us the gifts that we are gifted with to teach and to train and to do whatever he has given us. We have gifts. We have a plan. God has it all laid out for us. He gives us the gifts we need to do the job that he's called us to do. Do you hear me this morning? God has big, important plans for you. God wants you to be transformed. He wants your mind to be renewed. And he wants you to be a vessel, a little blue truck, perhaps, for him. As you go about this world, living this life, that you would continue to share with others about him, but also that we realize what the gift is that God has given us. What has God gave me? How has he strengthened me? How has he given me wisdom in this way to do this job? What has God called me to do? So we figure out what our gift is, and then we figure out what God is calling us to do. And listen, sometimes God calls us to do big things, and sometimes we don't think that we're adequate to do those things. And sometimes we're not. That's where faith comes in. That's where we begin to trust God. We begin to rely on him to show us how we are to accomplish the task at hand. And a lot of that comes from by humbling ourselves, getting on our knees and praying to God and asking him to show us how we make it through this situation. Some of that comes from other people. That our friends, when we're going through a tough situation, perhaps, I don't know, something comes to mind, maybe being stuck in a mud puddle. Okay? You know, that our friends might speak some wisdom to us. Like the little blue truck at the dump. You see, the dump truck was stuck in the mud. And Blue, with all his heart and all his might, went into that mud puddle. And he wanted to help push the dump out, but he got stuck. And he needed some help. And who came to his rescue? All of his friends. All of his family. The duck and the horse and the sheep and the chicken and the frog and the goat and the pig and all of them, they all came to help push him through. Folks, I realize it's a children's book, but it speaks truth and it preaches well that when we live for Christ and we dwell with others and we worship with others together, we have a strong bond, a unification of believers, that when we get stuck, that we have friends who believe in Jesus who will help pull us out. Do you hear me? Do you have that this morning? Do you have that connection of friends that are there to pick you up and to pull you out of the mud and to help you through those tough times? That is what we're called to do. We're to be unified together. Paul says it. He says in those passages, he says that for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And he goes on to list the gifts. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so when you think about your body, you have many different parts, many different functions of your parts. Listen, if you wake up in the morning and you don't have anything that you can think about off the top of your head to give God praise for, I just want you to look down at your hand. And I want you to wiggle your hand. Or your foot. Or your eyes. Look at your eyes in the mirror and give God the praise, because this just doesn't happen. This is evidence of a creator God. Okay? And so when we look at these things, we find the blessings that God has given us. And so I know that sometimes it seems like we're in the mud puddle for a long time. But we should be giving glory to God, and we should be giving Him praise for all the things that He does for us and all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. And when we feel like we don't have anything to give praise for, look at the creation. God has created each and every one of us different. He's given each of us He gives us different qualifications. Some of us are really good at this, and some of us are really good at that. And we have to figure out what it is that we're good at and how that falls into God's will for our life. And we do that, giving all the glory to Him. Why? Because He gave us that. Paul goes on to speak about gifts. And he shares with those that when we figure out what those gifts are, we need to use them. We need to give God the glory and the praise for giving us those gifts and realize where those gifts come from. We should always be mindful of the Lord. Always be respectful and always realize that He has given us everything that we have. Nothing that you have is because of you. It all comes from God. Understand that. Otherwise, we're like that big, important dump truck. We think we got it all figured out, and there's a mud puddle up the road. Folks, all of this pivots on the fact that we believe and we trust that there is a creator God. And that not only is there a creator God, but that He loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we could live for Him each and every day sin-free and realize that one day when we die on this earth, that we'll be in the presence of Him and we'll hear those words, hopefully, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And He'll welcome us into that heavenly place where I don't know exactly what's going to go on, but I guarantee you it's going to be a whole lot better than anything on this earth. That I can guarantee you. Paul goes on in verse 9, he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' But if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. And if he is thirsty, you give him a drink. For he is in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And if your enemy is stuck in a mud puddle, you head in there and you help him out." Folks, this preaches itself. This preaches yourself. Let love be without hypocrisy. Love people. I know that we don't always get along. I know that we have differences. I know that we're all raised to be in different walks of life. God has gifted us in that way, and sometimes that causes friction. But we've got to love one another. We've got to have this love that is shown here in this book. I know it's a child's book, and it's not the Bible, but if it could be, biblical themes are here. This love, this brotherly love that this little blue truck has for this dump truck, that he would sacrifice his own self to go into the mud puddle to get him out. Folks, that's the kind of love that we are to have with Christ, that we are to have with others. We are to cling to what is good and to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. We are to love. And we are to show it each and every day in our life. Not just sometimes, not just when the pastor preaches a convicting sermon, but why? Because if you go back to the beginning of chapter 12, because we have been transformed. There are people in this world that I wouldn't get along with, but because God has transformed me and changed who I am, I see great worth in those people. We might not always see eye to eye, but there's great worth. That is God's creation. And my heart goes out to them, and I love them. And so we must have that brotherly love. This dump truck ran all these animals off the road. He ran little blue off the road. He said, I don't have time for you. But what did the little blue truck do? He came and helped him. And if that's not a perfect example of what we as Christians should do, else. Sometimes we meet dump trucks and they're mean. But because we're transformed, because it's not about us anymore, we let Christ fill us with that love. The Holy Spirit fill us with that love for those difficult people. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. You know, in the very beginning of this book, the little blue truck, he says hi to the horse and the duck and the sheep and the goat and the pig. And they're farming. Why would I take the time? He saw importance in that. And what happened later? He showed them, he saw great worth in them, and later on, they came and helped him. I know it's a children's book, and I read a lot of them. But sometimes when you're doing that, you're reading your Bible at the same time, it all kind of starts to go together. And you realize these themes that they're teaching kids in these books are good things. There's biblical knowledge here. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take revenge, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will pay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Folks, this is a way that we deal with bullies in our lives. This is the way that we deal with mean people in our lives. We realize because we've been transformed and we've been changed, that we see great worth in those people. And our hearts should break for them because they're not transformed. And we should want that for them. It should be something that's on our minds all the time. Something that when we lay in there in bed at night, maybe you say your prayers before you go to bed, should come into our minds about that person. That man, it just seems like they're just mean all the time and they have no joy. Should be praying for them and be praying for the opportunities that God would give you to speak truth into their life. And remember that vengeance is not ours to repay. That we might be disrespected, that we might be put down in this life. We might just, man, just get dunked on, for lack of a better term. Okay? But we're turning the cheek. Why? Because we've been transformed. We're changed. We're not serving ourselves. We're serving Jesus.
Amen.
So we're changed. And as we become transformed and our minds are renewed and we begin to think in this new way, people begin to take notice of that. People begin to go, you know what? There's something different about that little blue truck. We get the opportunity to share with them the love of Christ. I know it's a simple story, but it speaks great volumes when added with the scripture that we read this morning about how we should treat each other and how we should act in this world and how we should be transformed each and every day of our lives. And when that transformation is just a one-time thing, it's a continual transformation in our lives. God continually changes us through the Holy Spirit, showing us what we need to get rid of and what we need to add. So folks, I encourage you this morning, as I close, to remember what this passage says and to remember what happened in this book. And how these biblical themes come out in this little blue truck book and how God can change our lives and how God can use us. Realize that you are important to God. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. And if you will let Him, He'll do a great work in your life. And so this morning, I'm gonna end here and I'm gonna pray. But I just encourage you this morning to be thinking about your life. Am I more like dump? Am I more like little blue? If I was stuck in a mud puddle, would anybody hear my cries? Or would there be a whole army of farm animals to come help me? You get what I mean? And you couple that with what we've read here in chapter 12. We need to think about our lives and how we live it. Are we transformed? Have we been renewed? That's what I want you to think about this morning. That renewal, that transformation comes by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that this morning, I encourage you to do that. There's no prayer that I can pray over you. It's a decision that you have to make, a decision that you have to realize that Christ came 2,000 years ago and died on the cross for your sins and my sin. And He took all of that sin upon Him, and he swallowed it up, and He died on that cross, and He went to the grave, and He overcame death, and 3 days later, He rose again, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father, and one day, He's coming back to take us home. When you believe that and you put your faith and your trust in that, that transformation, that renewal begins to happen. The Holy Spirit dwells within you and you begin to change and transform into something of a new creation. That's how it happens. So I encourage you this morning. Maybe you're a Christian and man, things have just gotten busy and you feel like you're the dump. You need to get back to that attitude of the little blue truck. Maybe this morning you've never accepted Christ in your heart and life and you don't know anything different but acting like that dump truck. Maybe you need to accept Christ in your heart and life this morning and realize that life is, there's much more to life than the hustle and bustle of this world. And place your faith and trust in Christ and begin to live for Him each and every day. I promise you, you won't feel empty. You won't be let down when you accept Christ in your heart and life.
Amen.
Because I've been on this journey almost 20 years now. I know it has been 20 years. And I know my young buck. But God has done some amazing things in my life. And I've never once regretted making that decision at age 11, walking down that aisle. And I hope that you don't either. And I hope if you haven't made the decision that you will this morning. Let's pray. Father, We come to you, Lord, and we ask you to show us, Father, what it is that we need to change in our lives. Father, show us this morning, Lord, the things that we need to take care of. Father, I pray this morning that if there is one here that doesn't know who you are, hasn't placed their faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that they would do that this morning. Lord, that they would realize that it's all about you, Lord, and it's not about us. Lord, realize that you have a plan for their life and that you have great gifts that you have given them, and you want them to realize those gifts were given to them to glorify your name and not themselves. Father, help us to realize what it is in our lives that are holding us back and to get rid of those chains and to move forward. Father, I thank you so much for this time we've had to open your word, Lord, and to just let it wash over us, Father. Thank you, Lord, this morning for the messages that we've heard through song, Father, that have just hopefully touched our lives and begin to point us to you. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit to preach your word. God, I thank you for the gifts that you give us. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there is one that doesn't know you, that they would give their life to you this morning and that they would be transformed and renewed. Lord, we love you so much. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. The band is going to play. And I'll be here in the front. We're going to pray, talk, I'll be here. Let's stand and sing.